Good morning, everyone. My name is David, and as Pastor Micah had mentioned, I grew up here in the Comox Valley, spent my years up till high school, and then also had a chance to come back and be a pastor, associate pastor at Courtney Fellowship Baptist, where I was there from 99 to 2006, and then we got called down to Victoria, and we've been there ever since. Currently attending at Lambert Park Church in Victoria, and it's just a good opportunity to come up and visit my parents who are with me here in the service, and it's wonderful to preach again here in the Valley, where I preached my first sermon at St. Peter's Anglican Church, when I was many years ago, maybe 30 years ago. And I'm glad to join you in your series about spiritual disciplines. As Pastor Micah has taught, the spiritual disciplines are tools that are available to help us grow in our faith and our relationship with Jesus. I love the idea of how they're tools and not rules. Like, they're not, you've got to do this to get it right with God. But they're rather tools that are opportunities for us to enrich our faith. I believe that spiritual disciplines, or what I sometimes like to call spiritual practices, are meant to draw us closer to Christ, and they always are a means to an end. The focus is not on the spiritual discipline themselves, but they are practices which move us upwards to God. And over the past few months, I've been thinking about the importance of an ongoing conversation with Jesus. And I've been thinking about how God speaks to us in a variety of ways. And that's why this passage that was read this morning has been on my heart, this idea of God speaking to us. I mean, the Bible is the most important way in which God speaks to us, but the scriptures themselves offer these kind of examples and illustrations of how God speaks to us in many different ways. He speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through others, through dreams, visions, circumstances, and impressions or thoughts in our hearts or minds. And the question I've had is, as I've been preparing for this message, is, are there spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices that can help us be better listeners? Help us to hear God speak in His many different ways. And I'm encouraged by this passage in the Old Testament from 1 Samuel 3 that was just read together, which is an example of how God speaks in a different way. I've never had this kind of experience where I've had God call my name, but I've had what I would think are ways in which God has spoken to me. Often they are echoes of the way that He's spoken to me through His Word. Just the other day, I was out for a walk and just kind of prayerfully thinking about this message and about life, and just kind of praying with God. And I walked past a young lady who left a very fresh scent behind her. Like just a few paces on, I could still smell her shampoo, and it smelled clean and fresh. I kept going along the road, and I could smell the asphalt that was being laid by the people that were paving the road near us. I walked through a park, and I came across a garbage can that I could smell from a distance away and a distance after. And God kind of just at that moment, the thought came to me, which was it from God? It was an echo of a scripture saying, how do you smell to others? Not in the kind of way, but in the sense of a passage of scripture that came back to my mind, which is in 2 Corinthians. It says, thanks be to God who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. And I thought, I took that as the voice of God in my heart. I didn't remember the exact reference of that scripture, but it came back to mind. It was as if God was saying to me, David, yeah, how do people experience you passing through their life? Does it smell fresh or less so? We're told in this passage of 1 Samuel that the word of God was rare at that time, that there weren't many visions. But I think we live in a time where God's voice may not be so rare. We have His word written for us, but I think God through His Spirit is perhaps more active than in Samuel's day. But the question is, are we good listeners? Are we in a spot where we're hearing from God? What has struck me, of course, in this passage of Scripture is exactly Samuel's response to the Lord, as instructed by Eli, that heart attitude of, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I want that attitude to be true in me, and I want to have spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines that invite God to speak into my life. Of course, we can never compel God to do anything, but we can engage and invite Him to be active, to speak to us, that we might have listening ears for Him. There are many spiritual practices that I think that cycle in and around being a good listener. It's hard to hear from God at times, but especially so when we're unfamiliar with His language in general. And like hearing someone speak in a foreign language, if we don't have a familiarity with God's written word, I believe it's harder for us to hear, as it were, His spoken word in our hearts or our minds. We have, I believe, a greater opportunity than Samuel did in many ways because of the fact that we have God's written word for us. The question I have is, are we more influenced by maybe the storyline of Harry Potter or Star Wars or the lyrics of our favorite musician? None of these things are themselves bad, but should we not have a greater fluency in the story of the Scriptures? Romans 12 and verse 2 gives us this encouragement. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So do you want to hear God's will for your life? Well, the discipline of spending time in the Scriptures, the discipline of allowing those things to train our thoughts so that, yeah, when that voice comes, there's that echo, there's that familiarity with His language. But as important as this is, the practice that I want to focus on more this morning is a little bit different. It's one that's been very special to me, and I'd like to encourage it to you. And that is what you might call the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, or just that, as I titled this message, that making space for God to speak. When I think back to the example of Samuel again, I wonder how important it was that he was in a quiet place, that he was in a sacred space, as it were, that he was alone and listening. Again, sadly, if anything, the Word of God is rare in our lives because of what you might call a familiar unspiritual discipline that often captures our attention. I commonly struggle with, what was I talking about? Distraction. I believe that this is a big issue in my life, and I think it's in a lot of our lives. I find it hard enough to listen to my wife when I'm scrolling through the news feed on my phone, let alone paying attention to what God might be trying to say to me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that social media or other forms of entertainment are wrong. I'm not listening to God all the time when I'm playing hockey, when I'm working, when I'm brushing my teeth. Oh, maybe brushing my teeth I could listen more, but when we are occupied with life, we can't always listen. But the bigger danger is when there could have been that moment of quiet and something else comes in and fills it up. I notice the unique power of devices to fill those gaps. You probably do that. I do it. You wake up in the morning and rather than the first thing you do is saying hello to God, it's like, okay, what happened in the world kind of thing. And how important is it to really know what's the latest thing in American politics or what the Canucks have done in the off season or what the latest review of whatever movie it is? But those things can come in as a distraction and fill up those little gaps in our lives. And it adds just a bit of noise, a bit more busyness, and we don't have that quiet space. For you, it may not be the phone or the iPad. It could be the television or the radio. It could be anything that just kind of fills in and distracts, adds noise to our lives. Those are disciplines, maybe not spiritual. When I think about the times that I've sensed God, it's not necessarily been absolutely quiet and silent and solitude, but it has been a place where I've had the ability to focus. God has even at times spoken to me through things that are could be perceived as noise, but in that space I was focusing on God. I personally, it's been a prayer walk in the morning. It's the getting up and the first thing I do, maybe not the absolute first thing I do, but before I get going with my day, I go for just even a 10-minute walk to pay attention to God. And is it absolute silence? Is it absolute solitude? Not really. In fact, there was one time I was on a walk like this, and I was praying, and Lord, it was kind of a troubling time in my life. I was wondering what God had for me in the future, and I was kind of praying to God and inviting Him to direct me. And I was up on this hillside, and a car drove by, and it was warmer weather, and the window was down, and he had noise coming out. He had the music on. But the only line I heard was Bob Marley's song, "Every Little Thing is Gonna Be All Right." And that came to me, actually, I believe, as the voice of God. Because I was attending to Him alone with my thoughts, alone with Him, that noise came as a voice that I said, yeah. I smiled and I took that as God's encouragement to say, yeah, He's with me. I'm going to be okay. We might find it surprising that the person who most models for us the idea of silence and solitude, of drawing away to be close with the Father, is Jesus Himself. And we see it throughout His ministry. Mark Comer, in his book, which I think goes well with the idea of spiritual disciplines, it's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He makes an interesting observation around Jesus's baptism. So after Jesus was baptized, we're told in Matthew chapter 4 that the Spirit led Him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. wilderness. It's a word that certainly connects with the Exodus. It's very literally probably a deserty kind of place, as we can imagine in Israel. But the word wilderness here essentially is a quiet place, a lonely place, a solitude place, a solitary place. It seems that this experience of being alone with God was something that Jesus used in order to meet the devil in temptation. You might think, well, this is a weak spot. Like, isn't that a place where he fasted for 40 days. Isn't this kind of like a place where he's at his weakest? Well, no, it's the Spirit that led him there, because it was the wilderness that allowed him to attend to the Father. In fact, it allowed him probably to attend to the Scriptures, because he met the devil after this time and resisted him, quoted Scriptures against him. He stood up to the temptation. It seems that the quiet place, the solitary place, the wilderness place, was a strengthening place for Jesus. Time and again, we see Jesus go back to these solitary places to commune with God. In Mark chapter 1, it's early in Jesus' ministry. He's healed many people. He's cast out demons. He's had what it seems to be an altogether busy day. And people are getting pretty excited. The crowds are building up on this. And what are we told? We're told very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus, in the midst of expending all the energy, finds that quiet place to be a place where I believe he heard the voice of the Father, where he found that peace that he needed. Even in these times of great success, where the crowds are looking for him, he disciplines himself for this time away. Luke 5 and 15 and 16 sum it up well. It says, "Yet news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness." Then it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." I mean, this may be very difficult for you, especially in different seasons of your life where you're caring for others, family members, especially young ones or old elderly ones, that where you maybe just have a busy work agenda, where there's just lots going on. It's not always easy to find these places. It becomes a discipline. It becomes a choice that we need to make to find these quiet places. It wasn't always easy for Jesus. There was a time in Mark chapter 6 where he gathered all the apostles. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to them all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest." And they went off and the crowds followed. Like, it was like they had this intent to do this, but the crowds just kept coming after them. They went around the lake and headed them off. It doesn't always come easy, but it's something that we can't just cast aside and say, "Oh, I'm busy." And busyness is more important than quiet, isn't it? Life will sometimes get in the way, but how can we engage this process? Well, I think, first of all, we need to plan at times to put aside the things that distract us. This is an echo of another spiritual discipline of fasting, of putting aside things that in order to focus. Maybe it is a media fast. Maybe it is leaving your phone alone for a while. It's making a choice to distance yourself from the things that you know distract you. Maybe it's just a season, but maybe it's a regular pattern. Maybe every Saturday night as you are preparing to come to service, it's a time to put aside distractions and prepare your hearts. Secondly, find opportunities wherever you can, even if they're just small. In a popular book, Celebration of Discipline, by Richard Foster, he advises us to make the most of our little solitudes that he says just kind of punctuate our days. Maybe it is that first moment in the morning or that last moment at night, or maybe it is brushing your teeth or taking a shower or waiting for the bus, or maybe it is a more purposeful, I'm going to go for a walk. But make opportunities to take the small solitudes and turn your attention to God and have that attitude that Samuel did. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You might be surprised to hear him encourage you. For me, as I've mentioned, it is that purposeful going for a walk before other things happen. And I've not always been good at this. There's been a season where I've let busyness get ahead of me, and I said, oh, I've got to get up so early, I can't possibly get up 10 minutes earlier, could I? Well, I can. All relationships need a continued investment. I mean, we know this. When we are away from someone for a while, the relationship erodes unless we make that effort to give our attention. And it's the same with our relationship with God. If we want to hear his voice, we need to take the time to invest in that conversation. If we don't take an interest in continuing to pursue God, our relationship won't grow. And that's why spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, such as this silence and solitude. I've been noticing as I've been thinking about this message about how many of the different spiritual practices kind of integrate together, that silence and solitude are maybe not innately amazing, although they could bring a lot of peace into our lives, but when we combine them maybe with a little bit of a scripture or some prayer or some putting aside of distraction, of fasting from things like that, these kind of integrate well together. So maybe if you're going to put some time to attend to God, you read a psalm or you read a story from the Gospels and you allow those things to permeate your thoughts. So I think that's another encouragement in a way that we can pursue this spiritual discipline. I'd like to end with some words from one of the letters in Revelation to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. This is a church that had become quite complacent. They're famous for this word where the Lord says to them, I know your deeds, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. They're neither refreshingly hot nor refreshingly cold, they're just kind of like, meh. And they're also challenged to be going back to God. They were pretty self-sufficient, like, we've got a lot of money, we got a lot of things taken care of, we don't really need God all that much, do we? And he says, you need to come to me to get what you need. And while I'm not convinced that these challenges are for you this morning, maybe they are if you've noticed that sense of complacency in your own heart. What I'm encouraged, though, is at the end of this letter, Jesus gives some encouragement. He gives some opportunity. And he says these familiar words. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who's victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you hear that faint knock? Do you hear that persistent call? Is the voice of God rare in our day? Or is it listening ears that are rare? Jesus, I believe, is standing at the door, and his voice is there. And if we let him in, he'll come in and we'll continue that conversation and he'll lead us to victory. So my challenge to you is, will you make a space in your day, a space in your week? Will you find those little solitudes where you can give your attention to God? Will you follow Jesus' example of seeking a quiet place, a lonely place? Put aside that distraction. Tune your heart to attend to the voice of Christ. Answer the door. I think you'll have a good conversation. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.